This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. And I'm desperate for you. And
it's so good to look out over the congregation and see that you're here with us to worship today. And we certainly pray that this is going to be a time of blessings as we come together. It's a special Sunday. It's Homecoming Sunday. And so because of that, I'm certainly praying that this is going to be a blessing to you and to me as we worship together. The pandemic is not behind us yet. There are signs that it's getting better, and we're thankful to God for that. I still wear a mask in here just for precautionary reasons, and so it's good that you're here. We have some folks that have indicated to me they're going to be outside in the car listening, so we want to welcome those folks to our worship service as well, and we're just glad for all of you to be here as we worship together today. I want to welcome you to Homecoming 2021. You know, one of the most wonderful and fascinating features of God's creation is that God created animals with an incredible sense of direction that's called the homing instinct. You know, if you look at some of the wild animals, for example, against all odds, the salmon, they swim home from the sea to spawn in the rivers of their birth. Hundreds of miles do they swim right back to the same place that they were birthed. Or if you look at, after flying thousands of miles, the swallows return to their home nest year after year. They fly thousands of miles, but they come right back each year to that place that they were born. Or every year there's thousands of Trunda swan and snow geese that fly 4,000 to 5,000 miles from Alaska all the way to a lake wildlife refuge in North Carolina. 4,000 to 5,000 miles. And they always fly back to the place that they were born. And even if you look at domesticated animals, we've been shown that they have this remarkable instinct to go home. If a dog or cat strays or is sold to a new owner, or even if it's carried long distance away and abandoned, which happens sometimes, the animal will act lost and will act homesick as they struggle to find their way back home. And there are documented cases of dogs and cats traveling hundreds and even thousands of miles over a period of weeks and months until they find their way home. Now, did God create humans with a similar homing instinct? You know, in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says that God has set eternity in the hearts of men. And the Apostle Paul states it in this way in 2 Corinthians. It says, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal home in heaven, not built by human hands." Now, listen very carefully to the second verse there in 2 Corinthians 5. It says, "Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling." And I think that call, that draw upon us is the reason we sing some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. Or we sing, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Or we sing, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I think our hearts are singing about something that has been created in us by our Creator. You see, God has set eternity in our hearts. And no matter how comfortable we may be in this world, our hearts are continually drawing us homeward and heavenlyward. But while we are in this world, there is something that draws us back to our earthly home. At the end of a long work, hard day of working, you just want to go home. There you find rest and peace. Or when you have been on a long trip, you really just want to get home. Or if you've ever traveled overseas to a foreign country and you're there for a while, you find yourself a little homesick for home. Now, the renowned Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates Jr. is a host on a PBS TV show called Finding Your Roots. And the core of the program is built upon the basic drive of humans to discover who we are and where we come from. Everybody has a need for a special place where we can say, that's where my ancestors came from. Or that's where I was born. Or that's where I grew up. For whatever else I may have had in this life, or what I've lost in this life, or whatever I will find, I've still got a place I call home. And this place, no one can take away from me. So each year at this same time, we're drawn back to the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren to celebrate a homecoming. Now, whether Boone's Mill Church has always been your home church, or it was the home church of your youth and you moved away, or you have more recently become a part of the Boone's Mill Church family, today is a special day for all of us who are gathered here. Now, in many ways, Paul and Barnabas, they looked upon the church at Antioch in our scripture reading this morning as their home church. We learn in Acts that it was from the church at Antioch that Paul and Barnabas were sent off on their first of three missionary journeys through the region of Asia Minor. And we also learn in Acts that a young man named John Mark was accompanied them on this journey, but he became homesick. And early on, he returned back to Antioch. Now, in our scripture text in Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas have just returned home from their 2-year missionary journey. See, the church sent them out to go establish some new churches. They had been gone for 2 years, and they had come back to the church at Antioch. And the first thing they did, they gathered all the people of the church, and they came together for a big homecoming. And as we reflect on what that homecoming meant to the church in Antioch, we gain some insight on what homecoming means to us here at the Boone's Mill Church today. And first of all, homecoming is a time to reflect on where we've been. At the homecoming at Antioch Church, Paul and Barnabas talked about all the places they've been. Their journey had started on the Isle of Cyprus, which is where Barnabas called his home birthing place. They traveled to several cities on that island, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, changing people's lives. They come to know Jesus as their Savior. And while in the city of Paphos, they encountered a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. And he even tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit from Paul and Barnabas, and they had to rebuke him for such activity and such behavior that they were having. But Paul and Barnabas went on to tell about preaching in the city of Perga, and it was there that John Mark, he got homesick, and he returned home. And that issue in the Scripture, if you read the Scripture, you find that John Mark leaving would become a great point of contention between Paul and Barnabas later. Paul said, John Mark's done with. He's not traveling with me anymore to abandon us like this. And Barnabas said, no, let's give him a second chance. And so that contention became really heated through their life. But after leaving the island of Cyprus, Paul and Barnabas went to Antioch at Pisidia. And according to historical writings, it is believed that is this place here in Pisidia is where Paul came down with a bad case of malaria, and he almost died. And it was through their preaching of the gospel many Gentiles came to accept Jesus Christ there. But the Jews who lived in that region, they stirred up a riot against Paul and Barnabas, and they ran them out of town. And from Antioch in Pisidia, they traveled to Iconium. And from Iconium, they went on to Lystra and then Derbe. And while in Lystra, Paul nearly lost his life when the people became so upset that he was preaching about Jesus Christ that they took up stones to stone him to death, and they thought he was dead, and they drug him outside of the city, and they left him in the garbage dump to rot away and to die. But the Scripture says Paul raised up, and he went back in his city, and he finished his preaching. Don't you know the people that were gathered at this great homecoming in Antioch that day were glued to the edge of their seats as they listened to Paul and Barnabas tell of all of their experiences in the places that they had been? What a remarkable thing that God had done in their lives. Now, that's what I want to do this morning. I want us to reflect for a moment on where the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren has been. Many of you are much more familiar with this church history than I am, but let me briefly sketch where this church has been since her humble beginnings. And I'm indebted to Betty Manning for her publication even last year of the 95th years of the memories about the church here at Boone's Mill. Thank you, Betty. I appreciate that. But, you know, if we go back now at the beginning of this church, if we go back to 1860, at the beginning of the Civil War, services were held here in this area in schoolhouses and homes in and near Boone's Mill Church, and are here near Boone's Mill, excuse me. And by the early 1900s, as the church had grown and the gatherings had grown, the meetings that were being held in different homes, it had grown too large to be held in the homes, so plans were made for a church house to be built in Boone's Mill. And before the Boone's Mill Church was built, it was part of the Bethlehem congregation. Now, after World War I, the lot on which the church now stands, the building that we are in, was purchased from George Angel in 1924. And construction began that same year. Calvin Coolidge was president of the United States at that time. And in 1925, the Boone's Mill Church was built and dedicated with J.A. Naff, one of my ancestors, who brought the message about about the church being dedicated. In 1928, the Boone's Mill congregation petitioned the Bethlehem Church for organizational status, and it was granted. Then, at the beginning of World War II, Guy Wampler Sr. was secured as the first full-time pastor of the Boone's Mill Church in 1939. while he gave pastoral support to Cedar Bluff and Red Hill congregations as well. And following Guy Wampler's pastorate, there were Oscar Feit, Robert Lloyd. Then there was a period of a couple years that there were home ministers who were ministering here at the church. Then there was James Flora, Grant Simmons, William Puffenberger, Donald Clay, Jimmy Robertson, Robert Miller, then Harry Shelton, and I have been serving as pastor since 2019. You recognize some of those names? I'm sure some of you do. And so today, as we think about where we've been, may we not forget those who founded this church, who put in blood, sweat, tears, prayer. They founded this church long ago, and let us remember those who faithfully served in the years gone by. But homecoming is also a time to reflect on where we are. We know from historical records that Paul and Barnabas, their first missionary journey covered a 2-year period during 48 and 49 A.D. And we know the second missionary journey did not begin until early 50 A.D. And during that season of refreshment, where they were back at their home church, Paul and Barnabas had time to reflect on where they'd been, the churches they had established, the people they had encountered, those who had given their life to Jesus Christ. And they began to reflect on, where are they now? Where is the church now? And as they made their preparations, they said, we're going to go on a second missionary journey. And so, but Paul and Silas were not simply resting on their accomplishments during this time of what had happened in the past. We learn in verse 23 that Paul and Barnabas had left the churches they had established on that first missionary journey under the directions of elders. And they were confident that even in their absence from those churches, that the kingdom of Christ would continue to advance in Asia Minor, and they would continue to preach. So let's ask, where is Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren right now? Where are we now? And I believe that is all a matter of perspective. Those of you who have a broader history in this church, you may see things one way. Whereas those who are relatively new to the Boone's Mill Church, they may see things about the church in a different way. Whereas those who are, as we look together over those things, having been here just over a little 2 years now for me, I can tell you what I see. I can kind of call myself the new kid on the block, I guess you could say. I see Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren as a church that has had many ups and downs over the years, which I believe can be said about most any church. This church has had some days of great glory, where she was thriving and growing, and these church pews here all were full, and probably even some up in the balcony. And this church has seen her share of some not so glorious days. But I truly believe that the church that endured those difficult times in the past is today much more loving, more caring, more united together as a church. I see a genuine hunger on the people that I have become a part of as pastor here, that many of you have a hunger to learn the Scripture, to be faithful to God, to pray. I see a genuine desire for you to be a good Samaritan by reaching out to help those in this church and in this community. I see Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren as perhaps the most hopeful looking church for their new future that I've seen in a long while in a church. And that has been encouraging to me. We have come through almost 2 years of a pandemic with many great challenges, and yet we've not only survived this past 2 years in unprecedented situations, but we've actually thrived. We have grown. We have been strong in giving. We have accomplished things both in the fellowship hall and in the parsonage and here in the sanctuary, and we have thrived, and God has blessed us, and I see this church is on her way up, certainly not on her way down. And do we still have a lot of room for improvement? Oh, yes. Yes, we do. Do we need to work more in a lot of areas? Oh, yes. Yes, we do. But as we look at where we are right now, I believe all the ingredients are here for God to breathe new life into us. That if we have a desperate for the breath of God, that we will have brand new life breathed into the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren. And I see that happening. And I see God doing miracles among us. And I am just thrilled by that. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for you for being a part of that. Homecoming is a time to reflect on where we've been. Homecoming is a time to reflect on where we are. And finally, homecoming is a time to reflect on where we're going. Now, the church at Antioch was perhaps one of, if not the most vibrant church of the New Testament. It is from this church we learn a very valuable truth. And that truth is this. In order for a church to maintain her vitality and stay healthy, she must never become satisfied with the status quo. Having sent Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, it would have been easy for the church at Antioch to become puffed up and self-satisfied with what they had done and all they needed to do, that they had paid their dues, I guess you could say. But instead, they didn't do that. The church focused on doing even more in the future. Not only did they look at what they'd done, but what can we do now? And we read in Acts chapter 15 that the Antioch church was the launching pad for Paul's second missionary journey. And not only after that, that journey took Paul much farther than the first journey and resulted in the winning of many souls and the establishment of many new churches in places where the gospel had never been preached before. And the church at Antioch played a key role in making that happen. And I know you have launched off many people who have gone in ministry in other places in this community and in this state and in other states. You have launched them and made that possible. But that's not all we read about Paul and Barnabas. We read in Acts chapter 18 that the Antioch church partnered with Paul on his third journey that he went out. And the Antioch church, as constantly, it was striving toward the future of what else could it do? How could the church share the good news of Jesus Christ with those in the world? So what is the future of Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren? Where do we go from here? Are the Boone's Mill Church's best days behind her or before her? I believe the Boone's Mill Church can learn a very valuable lesson from the church at Antioch. And that is, if we are to be strong and vibrant and healthy as a church 10 years from now, 20 years from now, should the Lord tarry until that time, We must strive to be strong and vibrant and a healthy church today. Brothers and sisters, it's up to us. It's up to you. It's up to me to build a bridge to the next generation of the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren. Our goal is not to become the biggest church in this area. Our goal is not to offer more and better programs than other churches are offering. Our goal is not to have the most attractive church building in this area. Our greatest goal is to become the kind of church Jesus Christ would have us to be, to share the love of God with those who come and to share the love of God in this community. A church that loves God and a church that loves people, and everything else is secondary to what we do. Yes, we have programs and we have committees and we have programs and we do things, but the most important thing is to love God and to love people. And so as we set our sights on our future here at the Boone's Mill Church, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. God is calling us to come home, to the Boone's Mill Church, and to be a part of the life that God gives us in this church, and calling us to come home to a life with Jesus Christ, that He is our Lord and our Savior. And that is my message today. Would you please come home? Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, we come here today thanking You for the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren. You have been so good to us and blessed us over the years. And we've had our ups and downs, but God, that's not the end of our journey. So as we face the future, we depend upon You to lead us. We turn our eyes upon Jesus, for You are our only hope. Lord, You know the way because You are the way. Jesus, take our hand and lead us in peace and with joy to a changed life by letting Jesus be our Lord and Savior. Thank You, Jesus. Guide me home today. In Your precious and loving name we pray. Amen.
Turn Your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see You. I want to see You.
And the theme.